Hey guys, Pastor Matt here. Welcome to this episode of The Overcomers. As many of you know, on May 7th, my new book called The Overcomers comes out. And what I'm trying to do in that book is I want to walk us through the book of Revelation, because Revelation has been given to the Church of Jesus Christ over the past 2,000 years in order to encourage her and build her up regardless of the season that they've been in. It has literally put steel in the spine of our brothers and sisters in some pretty horrific seasons of church history. And so what I thought we could do in this episode is I would just try to tackle, I think, the 7 or 8 most kind of Googled questions about the book of Revelation. So question one, how do you overcome anxiety and fear in relation to the book of Revelation? When it comes to the book of Revelation, because of how it's been interpreted for the last 150 years, not before that, but the last 150 years, people have a great deal of kind of fear and anxiety around the book. Even as I was preparing to preach through the book of Revelation at the Village Church, a very good friend of ours, Lauren and I's, basically said that she would be back to church once I was finished preaching through the book of Revelation. She had been so traumatized, if you will, by kind of the idea of, you know, the Left Behind series, or, you know, just everybody being raptured and her being left behind. Like she had been so traumatized by this newer interpretation of the book that she didn't know how to read it or approach it for what it was. And I think that's a lot of people. And so let me start by saying this. The book of Revelation has been given to the people of God across the church age, across this space that we're in between the ascension of Jesus Christ and his return, to encourage them. It is literally an unveiling of how Jesus is a revelation of Jesus Christ, how Jesus is seeing this space between his ascension and his return. So it's honestly a book of encouragement. It's a book meant to put courage into us. So I don't think you have to come with fear and anxiety at all. In fact, I would come with a real open heart and eagerness to be encouraged by the book of Revelation. What does Revelation say about Armageddon? When it comes to the Battle of Armageddon, this is like a big question that people who think about Revelation, like the Battle of Armageddon, like good versus evil once and for all, the final clash between God and his enemies. It's important to place that in the right context. And so Revelation is a series of sevens, 3 sevens. You have the 7 seals, and then you have the 7 trumpets, and then you have the 7 bowls. Well, it's around the 6th bowl in Revelation 16 that war comes to the earth. It's the second time that we read this in the book of Revelation. We also see war come to the earth in the trumpets and in the seals. But what's unique about Revelation 16 is it says that the armies of the earth and the kings of the earth and the beasts of the earth, all who are enemies of God, gather together. And then shortly after that, in Revelation 19, we see Jesus returning. We see Christ on a white horse. This is a very different version of Jesus than maybe you and I think about when we think about him. It's not sweet little baby Jesus, but it's also not, you know, like feathered hair, glowy face Jesus. There's a sword coming out of his mouth and flames in his eyes. And the Bible says that his robe was dipped in blood. There's like a tattoo on his thigh, and he comes. And here's what's crazy about the Battle of Armageddon. It's just not much of a battle. Like Jesus comes down, followed by the saints dressed in white. They're dressed as priests. And he simply says, I am who I am, and the enemies of God are destroyed. And so that's the Battle of Armageddon as we see it in the book of Revelation. It's just not much of a battle. Jesus shows up and says his name, and his enemies are destroyed forever. The next question is, what does Revelation say about the Holy Spirit? I think the Holy Spirit in Revelation is going to show up In any time we see the saints quickening towards worship, which is three or four times in the book of Revelation, because the Holy Spirit's the one doing the work of illumination, letting us see and understand that this Jesus that we're looking at in these passages. But I also think you're going to see him in Revelation 21 and 22, which is where the new heavens and the new earth are, because wherever God the Father is and wherever God the Son is, there also is the Holy Spirit. And so when we read in Revelation 21 and 22, that there was no temple there. What's in view in that moment is temples were these places where people would go to encounter a deity of some sort. And even the people of God went to the temple, the tabernacle before that, to be in the presence of God and to make sacrifices to that God. Well, what's happening when all things have been made new at the return of Christ is there's no longer a need for the temple because you and I have actually entered into the full presence, the dynamic presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you and I, and this is, I think, the best part of the finish line for you and me is, or I guess the next beginning is probably a better way to say it, is that you and I enter that dance of the Godhead for eternity. And so those are the ways that I think you see the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation. Okay, what does the book of Revelation say about the rapture? So if this is just the truth, nothing. There is no rapture in the book of Revelation. Revelation never mentions a rapture. We don't see a rapture happen. My understanding is that people will take their interpretation of 1 Thessalonians 4, and some will take some of Matthew 24, and they'll pull that into Revelation, and they will take those verses, and then what I've read people talk about and say is that since you have the letters to the churches, and then the churches are no longer mentioned again after the letters to the churches, that what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians pulled into Revelation and interpreting Revelation. That's not wrong because Scripture interprets Scripture. I think it's a wrong interpretation of 1 Thessalonians 4 laid on silence, and then too much has been made about it. The truth is 1 Thessalonians 4 is about those who have died in Christ being raised and pulled up into the air and changed in the twinkling of an eye. And Matthew 24 mirrors almost perfectly the four riders of the apocalypse, which are actually a part of the seven seals. So I don't think you can take those two verses or those two sections of Scripture and pull them into Revelation like some people do. There is no mention of the rapture in the book of Revelation. It's just not there. So what does Revelation say about the return of God? What we see happening is Jesus returning in his full glory and majesty. That the imagery is stunning. He's on a white horse and he's got a robe dipped in blood and he's got a sword coming out of his mouth and flames in his eyes. And everything flees at the coming of his holiness because nothing can survive holiness that has any taintedness to it. And so these passages in Revelation that have been, that they're very scary passages, very hard passages where things are burning and melting away at his return. And there's this, and the kings of the earth, like they wanted the mountains to fall on them, like they're hiding in caves and they can't seem to get away. What you're seeing is the pure, unfiltered, unblocked holiness and presence of Jesus push into reality in a way that anything that's not holy is going to be refined. It's going to be purged. It's going to be burned off. And only what he has sanctified by his blood will stand. So we have a literal return of King Jesus to reign and rule forever on a remade heaven and earth, that all that we see is beautiful will actually be more beautiful. All that we know is broken will be vanquished forever. There will no longer be death. There will no longer be any enemy. And there won't even be any, according to the text, remembrances of former things. So even if you have this thing in your life that's just, you know, you've been carrying it for a decade, there are memories you can't shake. Well, when Christ returns, the redemptive element of that might be held, But the pain of the memory ceases to exist in these new bodies we have, in this new heaven, new earth, where the presence of Christ and the reign and rule of Christ is visible and not just by faith alone. Next is, what does Revelation say about the end times? Revelation is a book about the end times, but it doesn't necessarily use those words, because the Bible, specifically the New Testament writers believed that we were already in the end times, that the end times didn't reference like the last 30 years or 20 years before Jesus's return, but that at the coming of Jesus, his death, resurrection, and ascension, that the end times have begun, that the last days are here. And we actually see Peter talk this way. We see the writer of Hebrews talk this way. We even see Jesus talk this way, that in these final days, in these last days, in these end times. So from a New Testament perspective, we're in the end times right now. Revelation is an unveiling of, according to the text itself in chapter 1, is an unveiling of the way things are now and what they will be. And so part of what Revelation is doing is pulling back the veil so you and I can see spiritual realities now in the end times. And then it shows us that final section that we'll all eventually be a part of. What does Revelation say about the new heaven and earth? Now, this has just been one of my favorite parts of the study. So what we see in when all things have been made new is that the new heavens and new earth, they are a literal physical place. If you read through Revelation 21 and 22, you'll see physicality everywhere. There are gates and there are walls and there are trees and there are creatures and there. So it's a real literal physical place. It's not that you and I become angels and we're just floating around in some ethereal space, that earth has been remade. The whole idea of new, both in 1 Peter and in the book of Revelation, is like not brand new, but remade, like a renewed heaven and earth. And so all that is broken is burned away and all is set right. So if you think of like Romans 8, where we read that all of creation groans as it eagerly awaits the adoption of the sons of God, that creation will cease to groan and will be made right and will be in a literal physical place. The other thing that I find astounding is that we will have literal physical bodies in this literal physical space. So I don't know a lot about those bodies, only that we read in 1 Corinthians 15 that they will be imperishable, that this thing that we're wearing right now, this physical body, it can't survive in that space. So we're going to need, if we die before Christ returns, we get resurrected bodies. And if not, now we're in our 1 Thessalonians, Pastor, we're in a twinkling of an eye, we will be transformed into these new physical bodies that don't die, that aren't decaying, that can't be held captive by disease or brokenness. And so you have a literal physical place in literal physical bodies. And we see in the scriptures that we'll have like roles there, we'll have jobs there. It seems like it's that some of you will judge angels in that space. And so you've got this reality that's actually closer to our reality now, where we're physical and we're in a physical space, and we're going to have that, and then we'll have work without toil, joy that's ever increasing, where what happens now is you and I, we kind of hit this ceiling when it comes to pleasure. Like you do it one time and it's amazing. You do it four times, it's amazing. You do it 30 times. And some of that amazing tends to wear off, but that won't be like the new heavens and earth, ever increasing joy and gladness. And then I think the most important thing about the new heavens and new earth is not all the cool physical, literal space, not the new resurrected body, but you and I will see Jesus face to face. Like I think about that often. I'm 30 years into my walk with Jesus. I have argued with no one more than I've argued with Jesus. I've followed no one as closely as I've tried to follow Jesus. I have prayed and cried and laughed and rejoiced and lamented and clung to, and that I'm going to see him face to face is to me, like if I didn't get that and I got my literal physical resurrected body in a new literal physical space. But without him, it just wouldn't, you wouldn't have the ever increasing joy. He is the inexhaustible well. And so to see him face to face is the great treasure that you and I are moving towards right now. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.